Hello, everyone, and welcome to day 6 of our novena to Our Lady of Sorrows, where we are looking at the fifth sorrow of Mary, where Mary stands at the foot of the cross of Jesus. My name is Kenny Zinski, and this is my wife,
Janelle Yuzinski,
who also happens to be my best friend. And we are pleased that you're here with us. Thank you for joining us and journeying with us, whether it be on Facebook in that group or online or on the email list. Thank you for your time. So today we come to the place where Jesus is crucified and Mary is standing at the cross. And in John chapter 19, we have two verses, verse 18 and 25, that just kind of summarizes really quickly what happens. And I think these two verses really lack detail. In verse 18, it simply says, they crucified him. And then in verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. I mean, it's just simply stated like a reporter would report the facts. And indeed, these are the facts. But what were the details? What were the sights, sounds, and smells? And how would have Our Lady written that account? Well, today, once again, we'll look at St. Bridget and what Mary revealed to her.
When the first nail was driven into him, I became overwhelmed by the sound of the first strike and fell down as if dead with darkened eyes, trembling hands, and faltering legs. In my bitter pain and great sorrow, I was not able to look up again until he had been completely nailed to the cross. But when I got up, I saw my son hanging pitifully, and I, his most sorrowful mother, was so grieved and heartbroken that I could barely stand up because of my great and bitter sorrow. My dear Jesus was breathless, exhausted, and in his last agony on the cross, his eyes were sunk, half closed and lifeless, his lips hanging and his mouth open, his cheeks hollow and drawn in, his face elongated, his nose sharp, his countenance sad. His head had fallen on his breast, his hair was black with blood, his stomach collapsed, his arms and legs stiff, and his whole body covered with wounds and blood. I just think of, I have a sister who just went through, her son just went through a multi-organ transplant back in January, and how the pain of seeing her son not only undergo that extreme surgery, but all the other surgeries preceding and afterwards. He's had multiple surgeries even afterwards. And the sorrow of her as a mother. And like Ken had mentioned yesterday about the post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, I feel like going through that kind of stress, not knowing your son is he going to live? Is he going to die? Is he going to make it through? Like, that's really, really hard. And I know sometimes we want to like numb that pain. And sometimes people do, you know, they'll take different kinds of medications so that they don't necessarily have to be there, be present with the one that's suffering. And I think of Mary, how she couldn't look up after she heard that first hammer sound of the nail, the hammer hitting the nail. And yet she didn't leave, she didn't flee, she stayed, she remained.
Mary wasn't a passive observer at the crucifixion of her son. For just as the one you love suffers, you suffer with him. And Mary loved Jesus more than all others and suffered more than all others with Jesus. St. John Chrysostom said that had we been at Calvary, we might have seen two altars with two great sacrifices upon them. One, the sacrifice of the body of Jesus, and the other, the sacrifice of the heart of Mary. St. Bernard also points out something similar, where he states that at Calvary, Jesus' body was sacrificed and Mary was there and it was a sacrifice of her soul. I think he's speaking of the interior sacrifice of Mary. And I'd like you to think about one particular event as Mary stands at the foot of the cross, where she hears the words of her son, "I thirst." Can you imagine as a mother what you would be feeling and thinking in that moment. You hear the words, I thirst. The one who you gave birth to, the one who you nursed, the one you have nurtured, the one you have clothed, is upon the cross naked. And he needs comfort, and he says, I thirst. And you have no water to give him except your tears. That is the only consolation that you can offer Jesus. So there might be times in our life when we go through desolation, but we don't stand in isolation. As Mary stood at the cross of Jesus, every time of desolation in our life, Mary stands at our cross too. And perhaps the time of consolation is coming, but it may be delayed, but we do not stand alone. There's an interesting thought by St. Peter de Main. He points out that when Mary stood at the cross of Jesus, she stood in between Jesus and the good thief. And because she stood in between, she won the good thief's salvation, because she was repaying back the good thief a good deed the thief had done to her and Jesus. And what is that good deed? St. Alphonsus Liguori states in The Glories of Mary that many authors relate how when Jesus and Mary and Joseph were flying into Egypt, the flight into Egypt, the good thief had did some sort of act of kindness to them. And now this full circle comes and they stand at the hill of Calvary, and Mary repays that good thief by standing in between him and Jesus. The act of kindness the thief did is now repaid a thousandfold with the gift of eternal salvation. And what is the lesson for us? That when we do a small act of kindness to Mary, Our Lady of Sorrows, she repays that back a thousandfold. Mary cannot be outdone in generosity. You have been generous with your time. You've been watching these videos. You've been saying and reciting the chaplet of Our Lady of Sorrows. You've been generous to Our Lady, and just know that she will not be outdone in generosity. So I'd ask you, continue to be generous with Our Lady and Jesus in this novena. Continue to say the chaplet, which will be linked in the description and right above there. But also please share these videos with others. Be generous to help spread the love of Jesus Christ. We go to Jesus through Mary in this beautiful devotion. So Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us.